Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
In 1994, there was a story from Reuters of a 63-year-old London accountant whose name was Arthur Spears, okay? And he had an extreme fear of hospitals. And he decided he just did not want to go to a hospital. Well, he had a bladder infection, and it required surgery, and he was so afraid, he refused to trust hospitals, that he decided to go home and take an 18-inch piece of wire and insert it into his bladder to try to relieve the pain. Now, it worked for a few minutes. This is actually, this really happened. It worked for a while. However, a few weeks later, the infection that he contracted, he actually passed away from that. So, I mean, it's kind of crazy things that people will do to refuse to trust. And as you can see today, we want to talk about trusting God and some of the things that happen to us that become roadblocks for us to trust God, and how, you know, kind of that seems like really a pretty extreme measure what happened here with Mr. Spears. Interesting word there, interesting name there, but I didn't realize that till just a second ago. But outside of that, what we do some pretty silly things ourselves too, in trying to fix ourselves spiritually. So we're going to continue in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. We're going to pick up right where we left off last week in verse 13, and let's all read this together. Would you join me? 1, 2, 3. And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me, do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. Well, beautiful story about Jesus. It's one that we all have the image in our mind of the picture that we've seen with Jesus on the rock and all these children coming to him, you know, and that's all warm and good. And Jesus uses this experience as a deep teaching moment, because this is something's going on. And of course, the disciples jump in and the disciples kind of mess it up. But look at the word that he used here. But when Jesus saw, but he was indignant. What an interesting word. Indignant. You know the word dignified? Okay? So Jesus was indignant. He was so angered by this, and again, not losing control, but he refused, he responded in a very intense way. Okay, this lets him know that he was really upset. This word means to be so upset that you show your anger or frustration. Now, here's Jesus, okay, and of all the things, Jesus was really upset. He chose this action of little children coming to him and the disciples, you know, rebuking them, saying, no, you got a problem here. So there's a lot to this. And then he has these great words in verse 15. Truly I say, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. So he's showing him, this is how we receive the kingdom of God, to become like a little child, okay? This is so neat. I love that kids are simple. And I remember when my kids were little, they would sometimes do this thing where I was sitting on the couch and I was relaxing, and they decided they're just going to run and just jump on you. Hey, parents know what I'm talking about, the old whether you're ready or not. You ever have that one? Or it's just a wonderful feeling in the pool. And I know it takes some coaxing for a while, but then sometimes the first time your kid just kind of jumps to you in the pool and you're like, great. And then after that, you better be paying attention, because you might get clocked as someone jumps down. You know, and they're so trusting and so proud. I mean, you take them to the mall, you know, around April, and sometimes if back when people used to go to malls and not on Amazon. But back when I was younger, you'd go to the mall around April, and there'd always be this little photo Photoshop set up, and they'd have a 6-foot deranged looking rabbit. And they'd say, "You want to take your picture? You know, here's the Easter Bunny. We'll take your picture with him." And all the kids, look, I would not sit on that weird rabbit. It's like demented. You know what I mean? I wouldn't do that. How many of you adults would you go sit on a big rabbit's lap? I'm good. I'm going to aim my... But kids are like, "Oh, yeah, this is so wonderful. This is so great. They're so trusting." I remember I had this encounter in Louisiana. I was there. My wife and I were trying to get some landscaping. And I looked over, and Jeremy and Jade were there, and Tara was there. And Tara, you know, when she gets her dance on, she's in her own little world. And she was dancing and looking at these leaves. And we were all the way across, and I saw Tara, and Tara's eyes and mine locked. And I was like, "Hey," and you could see the gears going. "Wait a minute. What's he doing here? He's supposed to be in that church building. They let him out? This is crazy." So you can see the gears just moving, and I was going to test the waters, and I thought, I don't know if she's going to do this or not. So I leaned down and I waved and I put my arms open, and she just looked and she just took off running and ran right. And I was so happy because she ran to me and not my wife, because they always run to my wife, not me. But I was very happy. So I gave her this big hug. It was so neat. And I thought, wow, what a trusting, what a neat little thing. You know, and again, she didn't really know me well outside of the church, and that was a cool event. And I think about that as how kids respond with this childlike faith. And we don't quite get it. You know, something has happened to us as we've grown. I was talking with some of our middle schoolers, and they were trying to show me a video game, which I did not understand. And I kept asking them questions like, why do you do that? And they said something that didn't make sense. And why do you do that? And finally, the kid said this: "You just don't get it because you're old." Child is no longer with us here today. No. Now the deal is, yeah, and they had a point. They had a point. Because I didn't get it. And they were, you know, it was really simple to them. You just do it. And here I was trying to understand some greater logic and understand. They're like, "Look, you're making it too difficult. You pick up the gym. You shoot the thing. You jump over." Well, why? You just do it. You know what? Sometimes we just don't get it. Sometimes really, now for us non-children in the room here today, there's good news. There's good news because Jesus doesn't just leave it here. And I think that this next portion of scripture, I believe is related. I believe it's related. And a lot of people read this and they're going to read that point and then they're just going to go on to the next point. And they don't realize that as the gospel writer wrote it, that there's a connection to these things. We talked about marriage, remember, last week. It wasn't just about marriage, it was about Christ and the church. It was this portrait of something deeper. And now we go into Jesus and little children, and then the very next portion of Scripture helps to clarify the point. That's why I love God's Word. It's a lot deeper than we think it is. So, being this is our setup, our first point today, and I got 3 points, Jeremy. Okay, yeah. I got 17. I'm just going to do 17 points today just to get it to you. Now, first point is this: we must receive God's kingdom with a childlike faith. It's not we can, it's not we may, it's not, no. We must receive God's kingdom with a childlike faith. Going on, verse 17 through 22. "And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, 'Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?'" Now hang on just a minute. Just a couple verses earlier, Jesus said, if anyone's going to come to the kingdom, he must come to the kingdom like a child. In other words, Jesus just told him how to enter into God's kingdom. And now he's, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit an eternal life?" You see, that these are connected, gang, and sometimes we don't get that. And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good?" Did Jesus answer his question. Like we said last week, didn't you see the pattern here? Once again, he's answering a question with a question. And as we have been shining a spotlight and showing the methodology of how this wonderful teacher, Jesus, this God incarnate is enlightening us, he's shining a spotlight onto something to say, you've got something wrong. Your perception is incorrect. That's why he's answering a question with a question. He's letting them know, you know what? What are you thinking? You know, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Well, then he's kind of letting us know, because you ask most of the people on the street in this day and age, how do I get to heaven? Be a good person. Where does it say that? Yeah, I'm serious. You can ask majority of people. Well, that's how, we try to be a good person. Why? So that I can be in God's good graces when I get to the end of my journey. You see, there's a problem here. That forgets this childlike faith. So he says, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. And then he begins to go through them. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. And he said to him, teacher, all these I have kept from my youth. And Jesus looking at him, what's the next two words there? Okay, so Jesus is not irate. Jesus is not angry. Jesus is not indignant. He looks at him and he loves him and he said to him, you lack one thing. Go sell what you have and give to the poor and you'll have treasures in heaven, or treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Verse 22 really messes with me. Jesus just let him know. Now it's interesting. Jesus told him, look, okay, there's something that you're lacking that you need to go sell these things. It's not like he's saying, do this to earn it, but he's letting him know, and you will have what in heaven? It wasn't saying how you get to heaven. We miss it here. We got to really look closely at the teaching here. He says, you're focusing on the law, and we're going to break into that here in just a second. He says, you're going to do these things. You're going to have treasure in heaven and come follow me. And this man leaves disheartened. He says he was disheartened by the saying. He went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Why would you go away sorrowful if you had great possessions and God tells you, here's how you can have treasures in heaven? I love this question here. I love this question. Why do you call me good? And I think that's something for us. Why do we call good? Why do we call good? You know, and it's sad, but sometimes we go through good times and sometimes we go through bad times. And the problem is sometimes our theology gets poor when we go through good times and bad times. Because sometimes we go through good times and we assume because we're going through good times or we're prospering or things are happening, that means we're right with God. And other times, I have had the phone calls, I've had the conversations. Boy, nothing has gone right. I've gone from one trouble to the next, to the next, to the next. Therefore, God must be angry with me. Who gives us that theology? Because God's beginning to call this out. It's almost as if, well, if you're going through a hard time, that means God doesn't love you. Well, look, Scripture lets us know that the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. Okay? Scripture lets us know that we are going to have times of persecutions. Now, why do we call good? A couple nights ago, I was watching the end of a basketball game, and I don't normally watch professional basketball, but I was just curious, and they got to the end, and I think the Warriors came back and won against the Rockets, and they interviewed Stephen Curry. But what a game. He had this amazing fourth quarter. He stunk through the whole first half, and then he has this amazing second half. And afterwards, he's sitting there, and he gives a really neat interview, and he throws what he's kind of known for. He said, I'd just like to give thanks and to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, it was cool. It was great. It's a great shout-out. But I, in my mind, I began to think, so if you would have lost, what is that saying? Is that still our confession? And that's not, and I'm not painting him in. I'm not painting it because he does an awful lot of good stuff. I don't know much about him, so I'm not endorsing him as a moral figure or any of those other pieces. I listen to things like that, and I think it reflects our theology to some degree. Should we give thanks to God for good things? Church? Yes, we should. Should we give thanks to God in bad things?
No, absolutely not. Because if I'm really a Christian, bad things don't happen. Brothers and sisters, this is the same theology Jesus is pointing out to this rich young ruler. Those of you who have little headings above your scripture, it says the rich young ruler. And it's beginning to talk to him. Okay? This is important. This guy, it looks like he has it all together. But does he? He doesn't. And so therefore we can identify with him. You know, why do we call good? Do we call good from God good for material blessings? And the problem is, if that is all. Here's where I think Psalm 23 has something great for us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because no evil will ever come to me. No, because thou art with me. You know, why we should call God good is he will never, everybody say never. He will never leave us or forsake us. So whether we make our bed in blessings or we're in the pit of hell, and I'm saying figuratively, we're going through a difficult time. The love of God is there. God won't abandon you when you go through hard times. When you go through hard times, and brothers and sisters, we will go through hard times, and we will have blessings. But don't get the wrong idea. Jesus loves us when we are wrong and we don't have it all together. Romans 5:8 lets us know that. But let's look deeper at what Jesus pressed him about. Because as I began to break this down and write them out, something jumped off the page. Because this guy still apparently lacks something. He says, look, all these things, he's talking about the commands, all these things. So let's look at the Ten Commandments real quickly. He begins with, Jesus says, you know the commands, do not murder. That's the sixth commandment. Okay, do not murder. I'm hoping none of us have murdered here today, right? Oh, I'm really scared now. Okay. He goes on. He says, okay, do not murder. Do not commit adultery. That's the seventh commandment. The eighth commandment, do not steal. He goes into the ninth commandment. He says, do not bear false witness. The ninth commandment is you shall not give false evidence against your neighbor. Okay. But then Jesus says something next. So he says, don't commit murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Do not give false witness. And it says something. The next thing that Jesus says is really interesting. It says, do not defraud. Which of the Ten Commandments is that? What was Jesus saying? When you break down this word defraud, it means hold back. Do not hold back. I don't remember this being one of the Ten Commandments. So was Jesus messed up? Was Jesus, this wonderful, great teacher, this inspired, was the Son of God wrong in saying this? Was he trying to catch the rich young ruler that he really didn't know the law very well? I don't think necessarily that. I think that he's pointing to the heart behind them. And then he gets even better here. So he's going through that, and then he goes, honor your father and mother. So he's going through the sixth commandment, the seventh commandment, the eighth commandment, the ninth commandment. He skips the tenth commandment and goes to the fifth commandment. Honor your father and mother. Why didn't he say the tenth commandment? The tenth commandment is probably what is catching our rich young ruler in a bit of a trap. He says, you must not be envious of your neighbor's goods. You shall not be envious of his house, nor his wife, nor anything that belongs to your neighbor. Tenth commandment. Jesus never asked him about the tenth commandment. Now, we're not sure here because, you know, maybe this rich young ruler jumped in before he could get to those other ones. And by the way, when we studied the Ten Commandments, remember the first four commandments Jesus never talked about. Now here, did he, gang? Remember the first four commandments? What do they have to do with our relationship between us and? Well. How do I have eternal life? You can't make yourself right with God through the Ten Commandments. They're wonderful, they're great, and they will push you to your need for Jesus Christ, which you get through faith, and not just any faith, a childlike faith. Well, that's a little deeper than I remember, Pastor. I tell you what, there's some powerful things in here, guys. Some powerful things. And if we want to look at him, they had been displaced. My second point is this. Worldly wealth distracts us from trusting God. Who do we trust in? Our 401k. We trust, I mean, seriously, we trust in a lot of different things. I think our money is really backwards. We have written on our money, in God we trust, and it really should say, in money we trust, because that's how a lot of us live our lives. And this rich young ruler is having some big things. Now, it is important for us all to know, because right now, I see the pew cushions shrinking up, and everyone thinks I'm going to collect an offering. I'm not. I'm not shaking you down. People get funny when you talk about money. I don't want to talk about that, gang. I want to talk about your heart. I want to talk about your heart, because this is a very, very powerful statement that he is making. Because the first commandment says, you shall have no other gods before me. I think that he's in violation of this one, because here God had said something. He wants to hold on to his mother, this Mother's Day. He wants to hold on to his money. Why did I get money and mother tied up together? Freudian slip there. Okay. He wants to hold on to his money. Money can become your God. Oh, can't money become your God? Reluctantly, we also, okay. How about an idol? We worship it. We prioritize it. We purchase things to replace God and find fulfillment. We have all done this. Has anybody here in this room ever shopped to get happy? I'm having a really rough week. I'm going to go shopping. New pair of shoes, new pair of something. Guys, you're not exempt. I need a new hunting rifle. That'll make it all real good. I know that's what I do, a fishing pole or a fishing. How many more fishing reels or rods or lure do I really need? But there's something about that can get displaced. Am I the only person who's, you all look at me like, oh, you poor soul. I think Pastor Mike needs to come visit your garage. Mm-hmm. Can't come to church. Can't come to church. I'm waxing God's blessing. Uh-huh. The guy, I had a pastor friend of mine says, don't drive your tithe. Think about, ooh, bad preacher. All right. So we have several of these things. What about the other commandments? Thou shalt not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The third commandment. How is he messing that one up? Well, quite frankly, why do you call me good? A lot of times, hey gang, we have all sometimes tried to put God's name on something that wasn't God. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yep. And I think the last, fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. Why was this important? Why is this? Because quite frankly, the Sabbath had all to do with trust. The Sabbath had to do with trust. You were to collect for each day, and then the sixth day, you collect up, but then the seventh day, you're not going to collect, and you're going to have to trust that God's going to provide for you. The Sabbath was an important thing, all about trust. And so we see it here, that this man honestly was trusting in his possessions. Why in the world would he walk away sad? And I get it, because sometimes, boy, it's easy to be generous when you don't have much now, isn't it? I'm going to tithe off, $100. Okay, well, that's easy to tithe. All $10 is no big deal. That's great. And God starts blessing you. Start getting $10,000. I can tithe $1,000. Okay. And God really starts blessing you. Oh, well, I get $100,000, $10,000. Uh-huh. I was reading a sermon off, I'm trying to remember who preached this now. And I think it was John Maxwell. He's preaching service and was talking about this particular portion of scripture, and a person came to him and was talking about struggling with tithing now that they were doing so well. And he said, well, I'll pray for you. And his prayer was something like, Lord, take this man's business and prosperity back to the level where he could trust in you. type of something like that. Which I understand here. So what do we do with this? Here's the important thing, gang. Jesus loves this guy. He's not busting his chops. Jesus looked at him, and he loves him. And he wants to give him something. He realized that what he's holding on to isn't worthy to be compared with what he wants to give him. Let's go on here as we wrap this up. 10:23-28. And Jesus looked around him and said to his disciples, how difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. Wow, that's a hard saying, gang. And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus looked and said to them again, children. Now look, again, children. Now he's bringing it in of this childlike faith. Children, how difficult is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And they were exceedingly astonished. Please don't talk like this, Jesus. People won't follow you. And they said to him, who then can be saved? Kind of like we're feeling right now. Man, this is hard. And Jesus looked at them and said, boy, this is great, great, great verse here. So let's all read this together. Verse 27. Jesus looked at them. That's all. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Jesus looked at them and said, with man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God. All things are possible with God. How you doing, buddy? Okay. Hey, you come to me, man. You're cool. I'm not going to hinder you. You can come up and hang out. That's fine with me. All right. So there's something really, really good here. So Jesus, and I've heard lots of people talk about this and like, oh, well, in Jerusalem, there was this one gate of the city called the Eye of the Needle. And it was so thin that a camel couldn't get in without a rider getting off and taking all the stuff off of it. And that's the only way that he could find a way to come in. You want to come up here, buddy? You can come sit with me. Okay, I was going to have a great object lesson. This is one really good object lesson that's just about to happen. I'm just going to wait for it. It's like fishing. I'm just, yeah, okay. Anybody got some mints? So what we did is Jesus, okay, here's the problem with that. It sounds good. It preaches a great sermon example, but it's not factually accurate. No, there wasn't. No, there wasn't. That's not, archaeologists have examined that. That's not right. Some people have tried to say, oh, well, what Jesus really meant here was something different because the two words are close to each other. And so there was probably a translation error and it wasn't really meaning, you know, a camel. No, Jesus meant this. Jesus is intentionally using hyperbole. You're using an exaggeration. Okay, this is, you go ahead, John. This is, Jesus intentionally uses this exaggerated form. He's saying, no, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. That doesn't make sense now, does it? You know why it doesn't make sense? Because with man, it is impossible. He's literally saying this, gang. Man cannot save himself. It is only through Jesus. This is an extreme statement. Now, this is good news because our final point is this. Come to Jesus like a child. And I want to tell everybody in the room because it's easy to start on the path and get sometimes sidetracked. But I think a lot of us are like me with my conversation with the middle schooler. You just don't get it. You're too old. Why can't we just roll back where that simple faith, where God says it, we do it. What God said, we will do things God's way. He's referencing the rich young ruler that our trust in our ability to keep the law is futile. That our trust in worldly possessions, you know, if you get peace by trying to see what your IRA has, okay, I want you to know that's not the end, gang. I'm not trying to tell you to be financially irresponsible because we should be very financially responsible, but Christians should be the most generous people that there are. Because God is a giving God, and when we give, we're like God. For God so loved the world that He gave over and over. Love is the noun of God. Give is the verb of God. When we give, we are like God. People, again, when you talk about that, people, you got a building fund coming up. Nope, gang. You don't get it. Seriously, you don't get it if that's what you're hearing. Now, although good works can store up treasures in heaven, they do not get us into God's kingdom because with man it is impossible. With our actions, it is possible. God always knew this. So in conclusion, when we're talking about our souls, let us not be like Arthur Spears. When we're talking about eternity, let us not be like Arthur Spears. Let's not try to find some way to do it ourselves, some way to make it happen on our own. Come to Jesus like a little child. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, I thank you and I praise you for your word to us today. And God, the way that it works together, as we've seen here, that there's a depth that sometimes escapes us and yet a simplicity that confounds us. Thank you, God, that you give us grace. And sometimes we are just like this rich young ruler, especially in the nation in which we live, where we are so blessed. But Father, don't let us put our trust in those things. Let us continue to understand the foundation of our faith is just that. It's a faith. It's a simple, simple, fully trusting of you and who you are. So Lord, across the room here today with each person, you know exactly where we are. You love us and you want us to come deeper. So let us feel the urging of your spirit and discern the knocking at the door of our heart. And God, by simple faith, opening it up. And Lord, for those in the room today, perhaps who've gotten distracted by the blessings and we're calling you good for the wrong reasons, I pray that we would understand that. And Lord, that our truth, that you'd correct our eyesight and our perceptions with your truth. Lord, those in the room who are going through hard times and have wrongly attributed that somehow this means that they're not right when they have been in keeping themselves. Lord, I pray that we would experience that blessing that Psalm 23 promises us, that you are always with us, God. And so as we move forward, we want to know you more and we want to do life on your terms. Teach us that, Father, by that simple faith. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, Amen.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.